Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Drugs. How do we treat our children? Should we give them Ritalin? Should we give them some of the other products that are being recommended? How do we determine if we're having a problem with a child, whether or not that should even be considered? Is it necessary? If so, why? When? Where? How do we make those determinations? My guest today is Dr. Eduardo Castro, and he is a man, along with an associate, Robert W. Hill, who feels as if it's important to educate the public. And a former associate of his I did an interview with regarding Ritalin and its effects on children, and that was about 5 or 6 years ago. I want to welcome you to my show, Dr. Castro. Thank you for being with me today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Now, I want to give a bit of a rundown on yourself and your associate, Robert Hill. Robert Hill founded the Oaks Psychological Service in Abingdon, Virginia, and he specializes in health psychology and behavioral medicine using hypnosis, behavior modification, and neurofeedback. And, in fact, it's stated that he was one of the early pioneers to bring neurofeedback to the general public, and he has worked with this modality in a number of levels and trains people to know how to do this and do it well to serve their patients. You are medical director of Mount Rogers Clinic in Troutdale, Virginia, and you're one of the leading alternative and complementary medical clinics in the United States, and you also got involved in neurofeedback. You have a neurofeedback center in Charlottesville, Virginia. And both of you were involved with getting rid of Ritalin, and this was in 2002, and that I had the opportunity to do an interview with, I believe it was, you said it was Bob that I probably had on the air. When I did that interview, I was just so thrilled to have such an articulate publication talking about a medication that I think is overprescribed. I really think we have gone way out into left field with our drug-oriented mentality. And I'm not a doctor. I guess it's perhaps I'm just being a little bit arrogant about this, but I really think this is something that is not needed. What made the two of you decide that you needed to bring out this book, Healing Young Brains, The Neurofeedback Solution?
Well, more parents need to know that they have options. There are many treatments out there, and very few know about treatments like neurofeedback. And they don't treat just don't treat ADD. They treat a range of conditions. We really just mostly talked about ADD in the first book, and so we thought we really ought to let parents know about the numerous other common and severe conditions like autism, learning disability, depression, anxiety, and many other things that kids have now today in numbers that they never did.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that it's because we are becoming better observers that autism is becoming more visible? I've done so many interviews with parents and medical professionals these last few years regarding this situation. It's considered an epidemic in California, and they're trying to figure out why. Do you think this is something that because we're becoming more attuned that we're paying attention?
I think that's absurd. I think that's absurd. I think it's obvious. We didn't have so many damaged children and devastated families just a couple of decades ago. Where were they? I remember what autistic kids were like. Back in my training, when Bob and I trained, autism was an illness that you might see once in your life. And he was usually a child who was kind of quiet, did not relate well, and that was about it. They were socially unable to kind of connect with even family members. They didn't function well in school either often, but they didn't have the devastating symptoms that these kids have today. This is obviously a condition of toxicity, which is what we're doing to ourselves. Mm-hmm. So is Alzheimer's. So is the epidemic of severe allergies, of asthma, of diabetes. We're doing this to ourselves. We're poisoning our environment and poisoning ourselves, and it's a toxic condition. If it weren't a toxic condition, it would be hard to explain why virtually any detoxification that you do on these kids, you see some degree of improvement.
Mm-hmm.
When you improve diet, when you do aggressive nutritional management, you see improvements. And you wouldn't do that if it were simply a neurological condition that's going to happen, that just kind of comes on when they're 1.5 or 2, a child who is talking and relating and normal now is withdrawn and nonverbal and non-functioning.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy to hear this, because I have had direct experience with a number of families that have gone through this, and I was just watching something. You talk about toxicity. My husband was watching a program on television last night. It was a late-night program called Frontline, and they were doing an expose on people in different countries that are, to make a living, they are boiling or cooking computers and their parts, literally melting the plastic and inhaling. Most of this work is being done by women, and the man that was doing the coverage on this is medically educated. He said the damage that is being done to hundreds of thousands of people in China and India, they're exposed to all of these toxins. They are now beginning to see what's happening. But there are so many people, it's almost as if individuals that are in the position of bringing this to an awareness and stopping this kind of stuff, saying, well, you know, it's just a bunch of people here. Toxicity, I think, is the powerful word that you're using. And we're going to talk about neurofeedback a little bit. I really like this approach because it's rewiring the brain. You say here it's quick, non-invasive, cost-effective, and it's great for kids, adults. Tell us some of the cases that you have dealt with. What got you guys so interested in using this as a vehicle with kids, with people? What got you started?
Well, Bob was a pioneer. Bob had the biggest clinic on the East Coast when I got into it. Actually, that's why I wanted to talk with him, because I was setting up a clinic. I was a mainstream psychiatrist at the time. I was very, very center of the road. You know, I used medications. My tool was my prescription pad. I had no knowledge that there was anything outside of that. I just fortunately came across neurofeedback and talked to some people that were doing it, and that kind of opened my eyes. I started doing it then with my psychiatric population, and I was treating everything that I was treating with medications before, so depression, anxiety,
mm-hmm.
ADD, autism. I started to treat some non-psychiatric things like migraine headaches and seizures, and got real interested in that, and learned that there were some other treatments that were very powerful, like hyperbaric oxygen. So I came to the clinic I'm at now to train under Dr. Elmer Cranton. He's a real pioneer in chelation and a number of other treatments. He ended up hiring me, and I ended up buying the clinic from him, and so I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, I was treating a whole range of things in my practice, and I was seeing better results in all areas. So, for instance, if a child came in with ADHD, before I'd pull out my prescription pad and write a prescription for something like Ritalin. And the child might have better attention for several hours while the Ritalin worked. But if he had headaches, he still had headaches. If he mm-hmm. wet the bed, he still wet the bed. If he had problems with sleep, he still had problems with sleep. Nothing else improved, just his attention for a period of hours. And that could be useful for him performing better in school. When I did neurofeedback, his brain basically regained its ability to regulate itself the way it was designed to work. You know, the child's brain wasn't designed to have an attentional problem, even if everybody in the family had a problem. You know, they had a genetic vulnerability to having their brains get knocked off track a bit easier than someone else with mm-hmm. a toxin or terrible diet or whatever it was. And at any rate, so I was seeing beautiful improvements in all areas. You know, if a child had impulse control problems, those improved. Typically, if a child had headaches, those improved. Sleep improved. Basically, he had a more finely tuned brain and functioned better across the board. It was just amazing to me to see the kind of recovery that's possible with something that physicians don't know anything about and don't really care about. It's biofeedback, thought to be a very soft intervention. It's a non-patentable treatment, so there are no huge studies like the drug companies do on their drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the studies on biofeedback of any type never really make the mainstream journals, so doctors don't learn about them, so they don't care about it. I've had a few cases, like most neurofeedback practitioners have, with autism, where there's complete recovery. And this was before I came to this clinic and I learned all that I've learned about detoxification, aggressive nutritional support, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What I think that underlines, these kids were still toxic. I think what that underlines is how finely tuned their brains were. A finely tuned brain is extraordinarily resilient to stress, even of toxins. So they function better and better and better and function normally, even with toxins on board, even, you know, without a major changes in diet and the other things that are so often extremely useful in autism.
Mm-hmm. When I was starting your book, right under the title of Autism, there was a story about Shauna, and I just ached for the mother. I just ached for the family, because here is a 15-month-old child that was just wonderful, and then she shifts, and she ends up not speaking, she's moaning, she rocks, rubs her forehead with her palms, she wakes up screaming, cannot be consoled in any way, she doesn't want to eat anything but, you know, maybe a couple of types of food. The mother, I mean, when this happens, it just tears you up. You just don't know what to do, and you're so exhausted because you're trying everything that you are aware of. And then you take a child to a physician, and they'll say, well, we'll give her medication and we'll do that. But it doesn't get to the core. It doesn't get to the cause. Now, you worked with Sierra, and I found some of the things that you suggested absolutely fascinating. Tell us how you were able to help Sierra physiologically resolve this horrific patterning of autism.
Yeah, well, she, I included her story because she was not the easy case. You know, a lot of autistic kids don't want to be touched.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't sit there and put the electrodes on their scalp and do the neurofeedback. You have to detoxify them some initially. Surprisingly, Epsom salt baths are very good for this. It provides a form of sulfur that's useful for detoxification. It's readily absorbed through the skin, as well as magnesium. Magnesium, most of us, unless we go out of our way to eat particularly well or supplement well, are low in magnesium. Autistic kids are often very low in magnesium. Or they often have terrible diets because of their sort of idiosyncratic choices about
mm-hmm.
and rigidity in their choices.
Right.
And so it delivers a nice form of magnesium that's very useful for basically it's membrane stabilization, but it can be very calming. So that can be useful. She applied glutathione cream as well later on. Let's see, what else did she do? That's right. She snuck in a few things in her peanut butter, I believe it was, that were nutritional. And then later on, we used some antifungals powder in her. She moved to some soft foods at that point. A lot of these kids have problems with their bowel. They have a dysbiosis, an imbalance of organisms in their bowel
mm-hmm.
that can have profound effects on their functioning. And so once she began to improve somewhat, she became less rigid, and that we were able to introduce neurofeedback, and that really moved things along nicely in terms of her willingness to, for one thing, eat a range of foods that she hadn't been eating,
mm-hmm.
but also to, you know, be touched, to be held. And so it just at that point, you know, we knew it. We had turned the corner, and she was doing nicely.
One of the thoughts that came into my head when I was reading your material was the savants. They used to be called idiot savants, and I'm so glad the first term has been dropped and they're just called savants now. But here you have people that sometimes are, you know, they very fit a lot of the autistic descriptions, but they're brilliant. It's like their brains are just supercharged in certain areas. And so many of them just are non-functional. Do you think if neurofeedback were used with some of the savants, it might assist them?
Oh, sure. I haven't had a pure savant who was extraordinary, you know, beyond words. But I've had a lot of kids who had remarkable talents in areas. One thing they're concerned is if they do, the older kids, especially like the teenagers, if they're particularly musical or artistic, they're afraid that they're going to lose that special thing. And we reassure them because top athletes and musicians, very few that know about neurofeedback, use it for peak performance enhancement. But at any rate, what we find is that they don't lose their special abilities, but they sort of shore up the other areas that are so weak.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a much, you know, they're more whole. So a very musical child now has ability to organize his life a little different, does better in school, is finally able to do better in math, and can schedule his gigs because he's organized now. We see an improvement in the weak areas. It doesn't adversely affect the area strength.
You bring up Down syndrome, and you said the highly predictable defects can be reduced and functioning can be improved with nothing more than focused and aggressive nutritional supplementation. I have to agree with you on that one 100%. I have seen examples of little ones that have had Down syndrome, and when the parents understand the nutritional supplementation that's required, because for some reason the mother didn't have it in her body, whatever was needed, it is amazing how quickly the body will repair itself. What would you say to a family that has a child with Down syndrome?
Well, they need to get the information to find out precisely what to supplement their child. They have certain biochemical defects because of the genetic defect, and by doing very aggressive nutritional supplementation, you can overcome some of these deficits. So the kids that do these, typically it softens their disabilities, and they're able to function better in school and socially, and even physically. They look a little less severely affected. That's true of any genetic condition, it seems. Genes are not what we thought they were, what we were taught they were anyway. They certainly are obviously very important, but we were taught that, you know, if you had a gene, something would happen. It produced something, or it caused something.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that there are many, many genetic expressions from a gene, and they can be affected by many things, especially diet and especially the degree of toxins on board. So, a child with a seeming genetic condition, like, let's say everyone in the family has depression,
mm-hmm.
Would think then there's a genetic component. Well, they have a vulnerability to becoming depressed with stress, but that doesn't mean they have to if they support themselves. Usually it's with diet and nutrition.
You mention also something about a hyperbaric oxygen treatment. Now, this is something that's typically given if people have the bends.
Right.
Okay, so what made this awareness come to the forefront for children with cerebral palsy, autism? Sometimes children have strokes, which boggles my mind. We're hearing more and more of this occurring with children that is just, I mean, you would rarely hear of something like this years ago. Children didn't have strokes,
yes.
Certain brain injuries. Tell us why that is a very effective treatment.
All right. Hyperbaric oxygen is a pressurized tank, and we fill it with 100% oxygen. And so it oxygenates all the tissues, all the fluids, all the cells. It wasn't apparent that it was useful for brain injury because of the doses that were used. The dose is in terms of the pressure, and the pressure is determined by atmosphere. So many wounds or many of the things that they use hyperbaric for would use high. Richard Neubauer is the pioneer in the United States. He died last year, but somewhere in the 1970s, he came across some information that improved at lower pressure. So he reduced the pressure to about 1.5 atmospheres and found that it caused new blood vessels to grow into the damaged area.
Mm-hmm.
A person who has a chronic condition, you know, like who has already had a stroke, you know, months to years ago, would require 40 treatments in a row, minimum. It takes that many to get into the area. And a person can do a series of 40 and 40 and 40, or they can do 100 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most fulfilling things to see these kids, like a child with cerebral palsy, who undergoes a series of treatments. You can't predict really easily what they're going to get back. It could be sensory or motor or cognitive in some cases. So a lot of these kids like have better eye tracking or better fine motor control or better balance. And so when they go back to their occupational therapists and physical therapists, there's so much more to work with, and they are able to raise their level of functioning another level. And it's nice if they're able to do enough hyperbaric to be able to sort of plateau, but that's sometimes difficult for parents.
You make a statement in your book, which I am inclined to agree with, that conventional medicine considers learning disability a lifelong condition, a hardwired deficit. And for those of you who are listening, who may have a child that has got learning problems, or maybe they've got a particular physical condition, nutrition is so important, but you have options to choose from. And this is so necessary for us to be aware of. And that's one of the things in your book that you provide. Not only do you go in depth regarding about the conditions of the ADHD, you talk about Alzheimer's to a degree. And I mean, I think of this for young and old. I just think that there is so much that can be done to empower people to know that, first of all, the brain can reproduce new cells, develop new connections. This is something that's been coming out more and more. And we really need to move forward in our thinking and in our understanding, and we need to be aggressive about this. And with our kids, the younger they are, when we can address these things in a healthful, natural way is important. Now, in your book, you have a listing about finding a provider dependent on where a person is. And I know we're talking to an international audience, but we have a lot of people throughout the country that are listening. And you talk about the EEG Spectrum International, and their website is eegspectrum.com. You have the EEG Institute, and that's eeginfo.com/institute. You have the International Society for Neurofeedback and Research, which is ISNR.org. You've got so much wonderful information in here, which I just think is fabulous about your book. You even go into nutritional facts. You talk about how we need to be aware of the list of food additives, what to avoid, the things that you do not have to be so concerned about. It's with the Feingold Association, feingold.org. You've got laboratory testing for heavy metals, nutritional recommendations again. I mean, you've just got all kinds of good information.
Today's parent with a child who has a serious problem really must educate themselves. You just simply can't go to the pediatrician necessarily and get what your child needs. You're going to really have to inform yourselves and then make decisions. And there's a lot that parents can do. Surprisingly enough, the treatments for autism that are among the best are the nutritional and dietary interventions that parents do. You don't need a doctor for that. You just need to get the information and apply it as best you can. And as your child improves, you're usually able to do more, be a little more aggressive with the nutritional supplementation and the dietary, choices.
I've had a number of parents that in dealing, when I've interviewed them and they've talked about their children, that was an area that they found they needed to educate themselves about, and gluten was a big thing, and also dairy. They found many times that when they eliminated that out of the diet, plus doing things either with music or with neurofeedback, with some other areas of brain interaction, such as you've described in your book here, they find that the combination was just amazing in the way that the results showed themselves. But sometimes it took a little bit more time than they anticipated, but they really had to be dedicated to this. And their kids became healthy again.
Yes. Your body responds to what you do to it. If you get bad things out of it and put good things into it, your body will respond. A lot of parents are inadvertently putting things in their, feeding their children things that aren't promoting health, and in many cases might be even interfering with health. Again, if you have to go to the trouble of educating yourself and then finding those foods that aren't going to be harmful to your child.
Mm-hmm.
Just something like eliminating sodas is important. It's just a chemical cocktail with terrible sugars in it that are the type that contribute strongly to diabetes.
Yes, it terrifies me when I see young mothers feeding their babies Coke or some soft drink.
And then some use Diet Coke because they don't want to give their children sugar. They're giving them a neurotoxin and aspartame. So.
Yes, and that's even worse, and something that a lot of people aren't aware of. And this goes for water as well as any liquid, but you have like the soft drinks in cans. And if they're out in the hot sun, there's an actual chemical reaction that's occurring inside of that can. And it's the same thing with plastic bottles. This is information that's coming out more and more. This stuff crosses my desk. I'm reading all kinds of materials on this. So it is important to educate ourselves so that we can take care of ourselves, and especially the kids, because this really does make a difference. And nutrition improves a child's IQ as well. You've got information on that in your book.
Yes. In that study, that wasn't a particularly good supplement that the researcher used. It was okay, but that underlines how important nutrition is. Imagine
mm-hmm.
if he had been able to really do a much more aggressive nutritional supplementation of these kids. They got a simple vitamin mineral supplement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it is just fascinating. Dr. Castro, it has been a delight having you as a guest again. Healing Young Brains is the name of your book. Now, you do have a website that any of my listeners could go to. And I would encourage those of you listening to write this down, because I'll tell you what, this could even be informative information to help someone that you know that may be in getting older and you're concerned about Alzheimer's. There are so many things that we're learning about. All of this is chemically related many times, the deterioration in the brain. So let's be proactive about this. This is a wonderful book. It is a must-read. Healing Young Brains, the Neurofeedback Solution. The website you can go to is MountRogersClinic.com. That's MTRogers, plural, clinic.com. Dr. Eduardo Castro, do you have a thought you would like to leave for my audience today?
Well, I think parents should learn a little bit about neurofeedback and learn about the options. It's a tremendously powerful tool. It's like exercise for your brain. No one would not benefit. Athletes use it for peak performance. People who have problems use it. None of us would not benefit from neurofeedback. That doesn't mean that everyone has to do it, but it's just to learn about what a powerful technique it is for restoring health in your child or yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's migraine headaches or ADD or learning disabilities or sleep disorders, it's a remarkable tool.
Well said, and I so appreciate your taking time out of your busy schedule to be a guest on my show, Healing Young Brains, the Neurofeedback Solution. This is drug-free treatment, For childhood disorders, including autism, ADHD, depression, anxiety, but it also is a process that's very good for adults as well. So this really is a fascinating read, and it's written in a way that you as a layperson can be very comfortable with reading it. And of course, you can go to their website, MountRogersClinic.com. Again, Dr. Castro, thank you for being my guest today.
This is
Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, I would be delighted to give you a little bit of light to light up your life in a special way. 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. 888-815-9756. And if you're a first-time listener, we're so delighted that you have joined the Donna Sebo Show as a listener, and I would just say if you want to give me a call, all you need to know is I just want your first name or your initial, and of course I love to know where you're calling in from. And then after that, let me tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome when I finish to ask me a question about anything that might be on your mind. Just remember, it's that simple, it's painless, and it can be a lot of fun. So give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Well, tomorrow we're going to be tea-tapping. Yes, that's what we're going to be doing. Teresa Tapp, one of my favorite people, is going to be on the air with me. And, oh, have we got some stuff to share with you. She's got a new CD that's come out. She's been in New York on some major shows talking about her wonderful exercise system, and it's something I use almost daily, and it toned me up beautifully, but Teresa's loaded with all kinds of good information, and you're not going to want to miss it. So tomorrow, Teresa's going to be with us, and then on Friday, we're going to be talking with a very special woman. Her name is Jen Robertson. Now, I'm doing something with Jen that's a little bit different. I'm interviewing a woman whose book has not yet been published, but I've read the manuscript, and believe me, it was quite a manuscript. This woman's path in life would be an inspiration to anybody that would hear it. She's a woman that has walked a road of tremendous obstacles that I don't know many people would be willing to take on themselves. So I invite you, I invite your friends to join me, because we've got two powerful women coming up, Teresa Tapp tomorrow, Jen Robinson on Friday, and you're going to be hearing a lot of good things. And, of course, you always have a chance to chat with me, if you so desire, by calling 888-815-9756. I also want to take the time to thank Monique Chapman, a very gracious host. Her show on Achieve Radio is walkingwithspirit.com. She's on every Tuesday evening from 5 until 7, and I was invited to be a guest on her show, and we just had a tremendous response of people, and it was great to be able to share insights and information. So if you'd like to hear the show, you can go to her website, and you can hear it as it was done live last night. So there's some other things that are coming up. I've been doing some other on-air interviews, and I'll let you know where you can find out the information. So if you wanted to, if you had nothing else to do, listen to some of the interviews, you'd have a chance to do that. So I will keep you informed. Also, if you have any special stories or recipes, send them along to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. And when I have an opportunity, I will put them into place in the show. I wanted to share a story with you about a very famous architect. His name was Sir Christopher Wren. Now, once he created a church dome that was so unique that those who were his competitors just got so jealous. They were so resentful. Well, they created a lot of commotion, and you know how that can be. What people don't understand, what they get jealous of, lots of times they want to destroy because they don't know what else to do with their minds, their mouths, their actions, or their attitudes. Well, this is what the case was at that time. These people created such an upheaval that the authorities responsible for the building insisted that Sir Christopher Wren add two supporting pillars to keep the dome from collapsing. Now, he was very innovative. They didn't believe. I mean, he was thinking outside the box. Wouldn't work. Well, Sir Christopher Wren took the time to explain why his design would work. He did everything he could to assure officials that the dome wouldn't collapse. But needless to say, all of these people that made such a stir, they won out. In this case, the majority ruled. So he added the pillars. Now, 50 years later, after this had been done, the dome had to be repainted. And workers were building a scaffold to reach it, and they made a phenomenal discovery. The two pillars that Sir Christopher Wren put in, they didn't even touch the ceiling. These were freestanding pillars. They weren't attached to anything. They were short by 2 feet. Why wasn't this discovered? Well, all of these officials could only see the pillars from ground level. And these things were tall. So they just assumed they were reaching the ceiling. Not the case. He proved his point. 50 years later, they discovered those pillars weren't holding anything up. His design was sound. So often we can get stuck in ideas and attitudes. Maybe someone has said, well, this is the way so-and-so's done it, and that's just the way it should be. Understand there's always a place for room and for growth. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we afraid of? Why are we afraid of change, of innovation? What is it that is at the base of our fears that creates an apprehension that blinds us to the possibilities of what can be attained? Here we are in a tremendously fast-paced era that we're living in. We've got all kinds of agitation going on around us. If anyone takes the time to study a little bit of history, you'll find that this happens very frequently. And why does it occur? Why do we have to have situations that create so much agitation, so much turmoil, that we are forced to make shifts and changes? It happens because we human beings usually aren't motivated just out of the common sense level of ourselves. It doesn't work that way. If we're content with God, we can be in total abject misery. But by golly, we know that misery, so we stay with it. It's ridiculous, but that's what we do. So we have to have some earth-shaking something or other that gets us up and out of our complacency and enables us then to see what our choices are. So if life is shaking you up right now, say thank you and get on with a journey of being, doing, and having what you can have. But you may have to work for it. Sorry, there are no free lunches. Let's go to our first caller today. Hi.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm magnificent. May I have your first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Patricia, and I'm calling from Rhode Island.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful place. Rhode Island. Oh, it's just terrific. All right, let's get down to business with you. The first word I'm getting is education. Now, when I'm looking at this, I'm intrigued because apparently it's a very specialized area. I think you have an entrepreneurial side to yourself, although you're not a person that maybe wants to have a corporation that's got 500,000 employees. That's not what I'm speaking of. I'm speaking of someone that has a lot of creativity within yourself, and you really, really want to put it into action, to put it into place. And I think that if you'll just continue to take your little baby steps of educating yourself, reading stories about women that have started off, like I was just reading a story about a woman that wanted to design aprons. Now, how many people are going to jump up and down and design aprons? They get excited over that. This woman's got a business. It's doing fabulously. And she's able to put all of her creative essence into it. I know of one woman that was in my family that got into doing her art. Her artwork was absolutely spectacular. And she ended up designing needlepoint designs. I mean, there's just no limit to what you can do. Now, maybe you have something you come up with cooking or design of one type or another. But I want you to reach out for those opportunities that enable you to expand your own awareness and your own education. You do that, and you're going to make a breakthrough for yourself. I'm seeing you aligning yourself with three, perhaps four other people, and you seem to come together as a team working towards a particular business objective. And it is going to be successful, and you're going to be so pleased, but you're going to have a lot to learn, a lot to learn. Reminds me of a couple that I met that they were selling hot sauce at one trade show that I happened to be at a few years ago. And this couple, they had this sauce, I said, and it was delicious. And I talked to them, and I said, what in the world ever possessed you to go in and make another hot sauce? I said, I was just at some place, and they had like 1,000 different hot sauces. This is another one. I said, well, it's been a family favorite, and it's been really good. And they went through a process of learning what it took to be able to produce something and then what they had to do to go out and get it done and get it out to the public. And they were enjoying a level of success that they didn't expect, but there was a lot of hard work behind it. So this is what I'm seeing you evolving through, but it's going to be for whatever level you're interested in. So I want you to not give up that curiosity and don't give up your interest, even though someone may think, oh, you just don't have what it takes. Look at them and say, okay, that's your opinion. You're entitled to it. And keep moving. Keep moving forward. You're okay. You're not lost. As someone that I know by the name of Jana would say, you're just exploring. Go for it. Without risk, okay. Life is not going to have very much excitement for you. What's on your mind, dear? What did you want to ask me about today?
I wanted to ask you about real estate. I'm thinking of buying a home, and I'm a little hesitant if I'm just getting frustrated and I'm going to make an offer or I found the right place.
Well, let me ask you this, because I think having a home is a wonderful thing. Are you really interested in putting in the time and the commitment to a home?
Yes.
Okay. If you are, then you need to sit down and really ask yourself what you want in a house. And you need to ask yourself, do you want to start off with something that's sort of small, or do you, like a two-bedroom place, or do you really want to look at investigating getting into a particular neighborhood and a certain level of home and look at the dollars that are involved here. Because down deep, I know that this is something that's perfectly fine, and you're going to be able to find what you want. But if you don't have clarity, you're going to end up second-guessing yourself, and then it's as if you're in a place that you have to put a lot more money into than what you anticipated, and you're frustrated and you're unhappy, and you're going to really be down on yourself. So before you go into that patterning, I want you to back out. I want you to start fresh. I want you to really ask yourself what you want in a home, and I want you to check out the areas that you think you would like to live in. And I mean this sincerely. And really look. Go and look at some of these open houses. Don't worry about whether or not you can afford it at this time, but ask yourself, what do I want? Am I making sense to you?
Well, a little, but I've done that. I mean, I've spent the last 2 years looking. I've really narrowed down the location. I've narrowed down what I want. And in some ways, I'm very happy I didn't find what I thought I wanted 2 years ago because what I've wanted has changed. I've seen different opportunities
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm. And, which is a good thing.
Which is a very good thing. And now I know what I want and I'm focused. Of course, I'd want brand new construction exactly in the location, but I haven't found that. So the property I'm looking at is going to need work. I've already brought a contractor in. I've already got an estimate. I just get I'm a little frustrated by the seller. Doesn't seem to be. He seems to be fickle whether he wants to sell or not.
I would just walk from this. This is not. This don't even go there. You're creating a stress in your life that you don't need. You're already looking at a place that's going to require what about anywhere from $75,000 to $150,000 worth of repair.
If I bought the building, it would be that much. If I buy just one unit, it's probably 40.
Well, you better think this through, because I don't think this is such a good deal. I really don't. I think
okay.
What you're looking at, don't be impatient. You know what you want, and what you need to be aware of is you need to become acquainted with some mortgage brokers. You need to find some people that have an inside track on properties that are in the area. And you may need to know about 5 or 6 of them. Tell them what you're looking for. Give them the specifics. And say, if anything crosses your desk that fits this, give me a call. I'm interested. And just
okay.
relax and let it go. And keep saving your cash.
Okay.
Can you stay on the line, hon? I've got to take a break.
Sure.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break here for just a moment. I'm on the air with Patricia in Rhode Island. We'll be back in just a moment. Phone line to call into if you want to chat, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717.
Hi, this is Donna. Give
T-tap.
Me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. I'm finishing up with Patricia in Rhode Island. Patricia, if you sit down and really look at what's going on here with this situation, it is not going to be to your advantage if you are looking at this from, gee whiz, if I just buy a portion of the building, that's a good thing, because if I buy the whole building, then it's going to be XYZ dollars. You need to really look at this carefully, because I think that there are more repairs and more costs here than what the seller is going to be able to tell you about.
Okay.
So keep shopping.
Does it make sense then to maybe make a lower offer?
You could do that. If this is exactly what you want, be patient and be willing. Don't be in a hurry. Don't make this an either-or type of a situation. Say, I've got a proposal. I go into this. If I buy the whole thing, then I'm going to be putting this kind of cost into it. And just tell the realtor. Let the realtor do what they need to do. That's their job. And if it's not flowing, let it go and move on to something else. This isn't a desperate situation. Move on.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Keep saving your cash, though.
Okay. Thank you.
That'll survive. You're welcome, hon. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. A little bit of trivia here regarding IMAX. Oh, it's so much fun to go into those super colossal theaters. I just love them. I was just absolutely thrilled when we were at the Cape Kennedy Center a few years back and were able to watch the wonderful satellite liftoff. What an experience that was. I just think IMAX is absolutely phenomenal. This was developed, the format was developed by four young would-be film moguls from Canada, who decided very quickly that they were going to rent and furnish some swanky offices to impress some potential Japanese investors. Well, you know what? Their risk worked. Fuji Bank supported their venture. Then the Canadians, they got on track and decided they wanted to invent a system that could shoot on film 10 times the size of a 35mm format and fill a screen 6 stories high. Now, an IMAX projector weighs as much as a male hippopotamus, costs $5 million, and has a bulb that is so bright, if it pointed upward, it could be seen by astronauts on the International Space Station. Absolutely incredible. And this is something, when you think about people's concepts, ideas, and innovation, look at how many millions and millions of people have enjoyed the IMAX format. It's an experience that, unless you've had it, it's just absolutely phenomenal. So whether you're watching a film like I did once about the first emperor of China, which was incredibly gorgeous and informative, or you're watching the space shuttle take off at Cape Kennedy or whatever else might be out there, the IMAX theater is a one of a kind and absolutely delightful. Well, we're almost out of time here. Tomorrow, Teresa Tapp. Yes, but we're not just toe-tapping. We are going to be fit and fabulous in 15 minutes, and it really works. Yes, 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 it does, but we're going to be finding out about some real cool things from Teresa. So tell your friends and join us so that you can find out how you can look your best in a very reasonable amount of time. Just a little bit of exercise making all the difference in the world. Donna Sebo here. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're the boss. You have a life to live in. You are so full of glorious talent. But if you don't let that light shine, nobody's ever going to know that it even exists. So turn it on and turn it up brightly. You're special. This is Donna. Be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBS. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.